And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Son of Slovenia, cool as hell. He scores the ball and he rebounds well. Don't fight the future, here comes Luka. Even losses feel like wins when you're with your good friend Tim. It's 77 minutes in heaven.
This is 77 Minutes, a Dallas Mavericks podcast, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. The only Mavericks podcast, as Donnie Nelson once said, that just likes our boys in blue. But the boys in blues I'm talking about, you know, believe it or not, it's the U.S. Postal Service.
Thank them for their service when you see them.
Essential work.
We love our mailmen. The best part, the best arm of the U.S. government, as far as I'm concerned. Rain or shine, snow or sleet, they get you your mail. I'm Tim Cato. All right, talk about the
mail
Mavericks.
I don't want.
Oh, wow. So they're going above and beyond?
Above and beyond.
And you're complaining about it?
Oh, No.
Okay.
No, this is like eating your balanced meal. Sometimes you don't want to eat your veggies, but it's good for you. Sometimes you don't need that extra catalog in the mail until you see that coupon in there, Dave DeFore. The mailmen are looking out for you.
Tell you guys right now, all the real smart people that we knew from high school, they work for
their mailmen
service.
Now?
Yes. Yeah, man. That seems like, honestly, it seems like the greatest job on the planet. You guys know
I've got
I love
bad news. I don't think I went to anybody's, I don't think any high school classmate
I hope
of mine.
Everyone from my, I only keep in touch with like one person. I hope everybody else is
same,
a, is
literally
a mailman.
One person.
I hope everyone works for the post office.
Although, fun Tim Cato fact,
all day,
my graduating class was 24 people.
52.
You don't know that about me?
I did know that one, actually, or something
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
A little private school action. It was, It was certainly a time of my life. I'm Tim Cato. I write and talk about the Mavericks. We've got Dave DeFore. We've got Mike Pellucci. And we have mailmen delivering us mail. Do a mailbag. A questions pod. Well, it's really more of an answers pod. Using questions to kind of fuel the answers.
Yeah.
This analogy is going
kind
nowhere.
Of a tweet sheet. Right, because it's not really a mailbag.
Yeah. It's all off Twitter, you know. So let's launch right in. At CBA Mavs, a friend of the podcast, a friend of Mavs Twitter, just generally, just a really good follow, a really good smart CBA person. He asked a question based off our theme song. When do the future 4-time MVP start? Referring, of course, to Luka Doncic, who you know, we've put it every single theme song, every single episode. We this is a prediction we make, and he's right. They haven't started yet. What do y'all think?
Who was the last guy to win an MVP on a bad team? That was Russ, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. Average like a 35-point triple-double?
Honestly, like the Mavs being so bad next year kind of sets up narratively that if they're just better, like, you know, I think that Luka will get far, far, far more credit and will have more impact than Kyrie Irving, assuming he resigns.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the narratives around the Mavs bouncing back to have a 51 season and Luka, you know, possibly, probably having his most in shape season, you know, front to end and actually having help, there's a really good chance he wins it next year. Now, three more after that, I'm certainly not predicting four in a row or anything like that. Four is a lot of MVPs, but I think
our theme song says it's happening though. So, you know, I think
we don't say
have
four
to...
in a row.
No, that's true. I do think, look, the way this league works, like it's a conversation driven league, and the conversation, he's one of those players that once he gets going, people will look for a reason to give it to him. People will look for, you know, the conversation is not turned on Luka Doncic yet. So people will want a reason to give it to him. And everything you said, Tim, that's, it's 100% correct about it's a lot easier to look at improvement when you've gone down to rock bottom versus what they were going at next year, you know? So yeah, I think anything he does, they will try to find a reason to make it happen. That is also one of the big things that I think might be a factor working in the Mavericks' favor, is that now the expectations, that the air has been let out of the balloon. You can kind of reinflate it slowly and use the next 3 years to sell Luka on, hey, we're going forward again. Just don't remember that whole thing where we got to the Western Conference Finals real quick. So I think I'll say in the next 2 years. That's my guess. I think in the next 2 years he gets one.
I mean, briefly, it's all about the first 25 games, you know? So if he's going to come in the best shape of his career and can crush till Christmas, you know?
And if the Mavs are like 20-5.
Right.
After those
that's yeah. Yeah.
You know,
which is so possible. I think that's very possible. It doesn't even mean the team's a title contender or anything like that, or ends up as one.
Right.
It's just, you start strong, you finish strong. Well, you know, and again, the other question is like, who are the other candidates? Giannis with a new world coach bounce. And I don't think Tatum is going
to
emerge.
Nobody expects Embiid to go back to back. I don't think that, not to say that he won't have a great regular season, but the voting thing, I mean, the fact that Jokic wasn't the MVP for the third time in a row this year, even though he should have been, tells you a lot about the fact that I think next year might be one of the more wide open. I think Jokic is probably the favorite to win it next year.
There will be people
Jokic
want to
feels
do a
like kind of the post championship coast half the year. Mm-hmm. Like, he now knows what the regular season means to him, and it used to be very little, and it's even less now.
I don't know, man.
Well, he's still
good,
but we saw what he did the last couple months of the past season, right? And you know, coming off a championship where
the championship
he knows
bump
his team
is what I'm thinking about. This is like, what if they're more 2015 Warriors than, you know, 14 Cavs, if that makes sense. So the mindset for the Cavs when LeBron came back, remember they built that team? It very much, they started the process of, we really only care about the postseason. We're going to, I mean, they went into the playoffs 1 year as like the 29th ranked defense with LeBron. And, you know, like, this is a team that made the finals, right? I don't think that the Nuggets are that. I think they're a little bit more of that 2015 Warriors. So I expect him to push next year. I think they're going to be like a 65 win team next year, I hope.
Whoa. That's what I'll put it this way. I think that out of all of the realistic MVP candidates, Luka's team has the most to prove in the regular season.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And, upside,
and the others
again.
And it's a regular season award.
Yeah.
Especially early in the season when these narratives really form and the favorites are kind of, you know, discussed.
Well, the
and,
Kyrie
like you said,
Irving
25 games.
Part. The Kyrie Irving story is going to be the story. It's going to be the biggest story to start the season next year, because he's like the best player, I would guess. It's him or Harden that could change teams, you know? And so I can just see, like, there's going to be a lot of scrutiny. Whether
but there's
he stays
no vote
or
splitting
leaves
between him and Luka. Luka will clearly be the top option. Anyway, let's keep moving. Kirk Henderson, you know him, you love him. His basketball question says, position of need for the Mavericks, forward or big? You know, we've talked a lot about how it's both, but if you could only pick one, if you could pick, you know, I'm just kind of riffing off his question. If you could choose one, you know, let's say the Mavericks go get a starting caliber player who is very clearly the third best player on the team. Do you want a big? Do you want a forward?
I think there are a lot of ways a forward can raise the floor without capping your ceiling in terms of what strategic accommodations you have to make, in terms of what matchups do you have to kind of hide them a little bit, in terms of do you have to keep them off the floor. I think if you knew this big was, you know, an upper echelon top five big, I think the ceiling is there. But I think the reality is it's just going to be a lot easier to upgrade this team, not only in the regular season, but in most playoff matchups, if you get a really good forward. So that would be my preference.
The recent postseasons make it clear that either you got a generational big, you got a Bam Adebayo, you got an Anthony Davis, or you got a 20-25 minute type big who just wins, but he's not playing 40 minutes for you. No. And I think the pathway for the Mavs to get that generational big is not non-existent. And so it's forward.
Yeah. Although, like you said, I think we are now back to the time of Giants. And I think that, yeah, I mean, it's not surprising that Giannis and Jokic have, you know, the skill that they have and all of the things, but also are 7 feet tall. It is still so basketball. Kirk's, so you
Kirk's
need like
other an, question.
Can they get Porzingis?
Dude, I can like almost picture him in a Mavs jersey like right now.
He'd be so good. He really would.
But
you know,
like the Photoshoppers are going to be going crazy after we suggested this. There's going to be so many photos of Porzingis.
Basically, how realistic they look nowadays. They're going to look so realistic.
Yeah, I saw a Knicks one the other day.
Well,
ooh.
Ooh.
No way. I saw.
Could you imagine
some like
Brunson
crazy Latvian national team fan like photoshopped Porzingis? Like, bro, what are you doing? Like, why is he going to go over and play with the Latvian national team? Like, let's be realistic here.
Man,
you want a nonsense question?
I want all nonsense questions.
So Kirk also asked this. He asked two questions. He asked go-to drink order when drinking outdoors.
This was tough.
And this does not say a good thing about me that when I first read this question, I was like, oh, what order of drinks do you go in? And I was going to be like, okay, obviously you start with a cocktail. Then you do like three or four beers. And then, you know, after that, maybe you get great. Okay. So yeah, maybe I drink outside a little too much. Sue me.
Drinking outside. It depends on time of year, you know? I like Christmas time. I like mulled wine, but I'm assuming he means when it's hot because he's in Dallas.
I don't think that was the purpose of this question.
So
I will say,
I don't know, man.
I'm not
like,
a big,
I like a lager.
I'm not a big seltzer guy. I'm not a White Claw guy. I'm not, although out of all of them, the Topo Chico seltzers are the best ones. I love those outdoors. Yeah. Only time where I'll drink them. And you know, I'm not pre-gaming or out at a bar ordering a hard Topo Chico. But outdoors
ranch
actually,
water action.
I'm simple
ranch water action.
Simple,
yeah,
guy.
Yeah,
just give me a Dos Equis.
I mean, here's the thing. You know, it's
Estrella is the best Mexican.
It can plausibly be patio weather most months out of the year here. We are in the southern United States. We are obviously attached to Mexico. You might know where I'm going with this. Most places, if you don't have a good margarita, even an average margarita is like pizza. It's only even bad pizza is good pizza. Even a bad margarita is a decent enough margarita. I can do margaritas most times of the year. Tim's shaking his head.
Texas sun though, I don't want sugar. That's why I'm ranch.
Yeah,
water.
I don't do sugar.
I don't want sugar. Not especially if I'm outside.
Yeah,
like that's just a recipe for.
I mean, how many are you drinking? That's the thing. I don't have any fault with the fact that most of my prime drinking days are behind me. So I'm doing like a couple. You know, I'm not doing like nine margaritas. I can't do that. But a couple of them to where I know.
I don't
like
think anyone can.
If you were like me and LeBron and spent a lot of money on your body, you could still be drinking like you're in your 20s.
Oh, but I don't. And I'm not.
Just kidding.
Basketball question. Y'all ready?
Love it.
All right.
Billy Sierra 16 on Twitter. Long time. Follower of mine.
Oh yeah, Billy.
Yeah, like I think back to the Mavs Moneyball days. So shout out Billy.
Early adopter.
Says, what would you say the odds are that Dallas keeps their pick, and are there specific players Dallas would keep it for?
You know, this Bradley Beal news today has made me really start thinking about this number 10 pick, guys. And the truth is, I think Bradley Beal is going to go for so little.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
It's not a great contract.
If Dallas doesn't get in on him, man, everyone is going to have a meltdown because it's going to be cheap. There's a chance Washington has to take back bad money. So like the Mavs, you could do like number 10, Bertans, Tim Hardaway, JaVale. And
I mean, surely it would have to be like a Josh Green or a Jaden Hardy.
Maybe,
right?
Maybe. This is, dude, this
I
is
don't know,
four
man.
Years left on his deal. 47 million, 50, 53, 57.
I mean, we talked about the LeBron idea a couple weeks ago when that rumor dropped, and I was already kind of worried and out on LeBron, due to salary reasons. And I do think they had a little bit more flexibility than I suggested on that podcast, but it would still be hard. And a big part of adding LeBron, hypothetically, huge, you know, we were just having fun. But a huge reason of that would be like, okay, you just got to deal with this for 2 years. You got to make it work for like couple seasons. And adding 4 years, no. This team would be worse trading Bradley Beal for the number 10 pick for 4 years of that and having to work around three guards that don't play defense.
I think
money to operate. They should not be in.
The caveat is the only way you consider it is if they somehow don't keep Kyrie. And even then, it's more asset. There's more asset consolidation for one piece, even if asset is used very loosely in terms of half the shit you give up in this hypothetical scenario. Yeah, if you don't keep Kyrie, then sure. If you do keep Kyrie, absolutely not. I don't know what the odds are. Tim would be able to tell us best because he's the one most plugged in. What I will say is the more time that passes, the more I do think they really should not force this trading of the pick with this new CBA. If the CBA wasn't changing, okay, fine. But they are going to need cost-controlled labor, and this pick is going to be the best way they can get it. And sure, if a great deal comes along, we know what the timeline is. I get it. But I think the concern you should have if you're a Mavericks fan is if they go tunnel vision and say, we have to trade the pick, and then you take back money that isn't good money. You know, like we're going to get to a question a little bit about Tim Hardaway Jr. Like, Tim Hardaway Jr. isn't great money in this new CBA. Most things are not good money in the new CBA. So anything you could do, if you could at all talk yourself into keeping this pick and something that helps you, I'm in favor of it. I really, truly believe that whatever the odds are that they actually trade it, they should in reality be lower because they should be looking for reasons to keep it, not reasons to move it. That's my hot take.
Well, let's stick on guards. Guard talk. Older guard, expensive guard talk.
Are we not Nathan Cornegay.
I don't know.
I was going to ask this one, but it was too good of a transition. Okay, well, we'll ask Billy's question. Billy's second question was next question. Do you own a home? And if so, have you gone solar? Billy, I'm a journalist. I don't own property. I don't have that type of money. I've got money.
I've got some
plants in my downtown apartment.
There you go.
So
I
got
have a
solar
home.
Power in my apartment.
There it is.
Since, but not really.
I do have a home. I haven't gone solar. Some of this might just be my own security of feeling like I'm a dumbass and I don't really understand how it works. So, Billy, if you want to get it, you know, if you want to hit me up and tell me why it's great and like really break it down for me, I'm down to listen, man. I'm not anti here. I'm anti my own intellectual insecurities. That's what I am.
You gotta put a solar panel on top of your margarita machine that you got in your backyard.
Are you suddenly anti margarita in general? Is that the
position
you're
solar?
No, it just sounds like you're making them all the time outside. And so like, sure, you got a whole machine out there. I mean,
yeah, solar that's power. Me, big marg machine guy.
Do they make like, what is it, 12 volt system you're running out there? You got an inverter? What's happening to run your margs off? Solar is good.
Solar Nathan really Cornegay asked, why is Fred VanVleet? There's only so much solar power talk that is allowed on a basketball podcast. I think we hit our limit. Why is Fred VanVleet not a much better sidekick to Luka than Kyrie?
Lack of off the dribble game is a big problem.
I mean, mostly just
good
like
on wide
he's
open
not
shots.
As good, you know?
Yeah, yep. He's not.
Ceiling like, versus floor.
Yep.
Yeah. And like VanVleet may be may have a more consistent floor of a defender than Kyrie.
Yeah.
But like VanVleet's a small guard and small guards just don't defend, you know, don't defend is harsh, but they are players who, when you start playing the best teams, will be targeted. Doesn't matter how good they are. Doesn't matter how much work they put into it. Even Kyle Lowry can get targeted a little bit. And he's like the biggest exception out of this mix of, you know, smaller guards who have a bit of a defensive rep because, you know, he doesn't get pushed around. And VanVleet is.
Let me ask
well, I would say, I would
Let me
say
ask
that.
A question. Would you rather pay Bradley Beal what's left on his deal for 4 years? Or would you rather pay VanVleet like 35 or whatever it's going to be for 4 years? I'd rather pay Beal.
Well, there's also the opportunity Kyrie? Cost. I mean, there's also the opportunity cost of you get Fred VanVleet in the open market, you trade for, you know, but sure. Yeah. I mean, I would rather trust Brad Beal in that regard. I'd rather pay Kyrie than both. I think the word that Nathan put in here that's relevant is the word sidekick. Fred VanVleet is a sidekick. Kyrie Irving's a co-star. That's the difference.
Damn.
That's a bar.
Nick. That is. Wow. Yeah. I'm just like, I'm stunned. I don't know what to say. Well, I will say also one quick thing about Kyrie. My bet is that whatever contract he signs in Dallas, it's 3 years, 3+1. I do not get a sense that it's going to be five or
with a team
or like
team
four.
Option. You think?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'd assume a player option out of that scenario, which might as well be four. But I get a sense three might be possible. Three might be possible. I don't know that. I'm not reporting it, but
it's just funny to
me
that
possibly headed that way.
The talking point has been like, oh, teams don't want to give him, you know, who's going to give him more than 2+1? Or guests do not pay attention to how the NBA works and what actually, you know, matters and how the things go down. Like the 65 games thing for the award, man, that is not good. Someone's going to play 58 games and be on the All-NBA team because they're going to tinker with the criteria. So, yeah, Kyrie Irving's probably going to get 4 years somewhere. And it may be a 3+1.
Yeah. I'm going to ask one that I'm just going to answer real quick. And then I think Mike has one that I'll kick to after this. But Steve Heflin asked, did Mavrello die? Whatever happened to that guy? I cannot unmask who is actually behind it. I do know who it is. Possibly, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I don't even have inside info on this. But it's maybe he'd be back. Possibly. I don't know. Might not be the last you've ever seen of him. But I don't even know, like, for sure, you know?
Is it going to be on Sesame Street or?
Could be anywhere. I mean, imagine waking up in the middle of the night, like 3:30 a.m., you know, just a little thirsty. You know, you can go up and get some water and you get up out of your bed and you look at your bedroom door. Just an animatronic basketball, just the shadow of an animatronic basketball just sitting in your bedroom doorway. What are you doing? What would you do in that scenario, Dave, Mike? Because I know what I would do. I'd get up. I'd get straight out of bed, and I'd dribble the shit out of that dude. I'd be doing little crossovers at 3:30 a.m. I'm like, hey man, functionally you're still a basketball, and I'm gonna use you for the purpose that God invented. Well, we don't know if God invented Mavrello. That is, we don't want to go that far.
Oh no, that abomination. Yeah.
Richard Barton.
What a time.
Richard Barton IV, who I understand is a good friend of Kent Garrison, has asked what is the worst thing about Kent Garrison, our intrepid producer. I have two of them. One serious, one not so serious. The serious one, or the not so serious one. So Kent Garrison also produces About Them Cowboys, which is the Dallas Cowboys podcast. And if you listen to both these podcasts, you might notice there's a very large discrepancy in how much Kent talks. When he's on the Cowboys show, Kent is a chatterbox. Kent loves talking about the Cowboys, loves making cool new opens about the Cowboys, loves riffing about the Cowboys. When he's here, he's great as a producer. We love him. He makes the show go. He doesn't want to talk to us. It's like he's ashamed of us. And, you know, that hurts, Kent. We're friends. Don't be ashamed of us. So that's not good. The second thing.
And Dave's producing today, or we would make Kent stand up for his crimes right now.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then he would just publicly admit that he's ashamed.
He's not even here. He's not even here.
He's not even here.
He wants to talk so little on this podcast and even to show up for this one.
Anytime he cannot be here, he's not going to be here. Because he doesn't work hard. The man works harder than all of us. Because he doesn't want to be in our presence. And that stings, Kent. But the real thing that is the worst thing about Kent Garrison, he does a movie podcast. Great podcast. I forget the name of it or else I'd shout it out. I think Richard might co-host that podcast with him. At any rate, they, after Star Wars Episode 9, which is the last new one that came out, said it was a great movie. Said it was an excellent film. That movie was garbage. Garbage.
What?
Yeah. No, they loved it. They loved it. It was terrible. It was maybe the worst movie-going experience of my lifetime. It was so bad. And I cannot stress enough that this is maybe the worst movie take of anybody that's ever had a movie take. So I take Star Wars opinions very seriously. This was just a crime against humanity. So, you know, if you're keeping score, being ashamed of me, not that big of a deal. Liking that Star Wars movie, very big deal. Let's continue.
Can I share what I replied to that on Twitter?
Yes.
So I said, I don't have it in front of me. I was like, yeah, my problem with Kent, he's too kind and good at his job and punctual. That asshole.
Wow, sounds like me.
And I went to tweet it, and Twitter did that thing where they pop up the little the screen, and they're like, most people don't tweet like this. Are you sure you want to tweet like this?
I do appreciate that Twitter.
I guess I've never called someone an asshole on Twitter. So that's the first time I've ever got that. But I've seen it before. People
that's
tweet it all the time.
Right there.
Now think about this. Think about how many times I've been called an asshole on Twitter, and those people just went right through, just blew right through that warning.
You sure you want to
call
that?
Most people
yes,
don't
absolutely.
Tweet like this. That's proof that Twitter doesn't spend any time on Twitter, because that's how most people, you know, tweet.
All right. How many more questions y'all want to do? Basketball?
Oh, we got a
nonsense.
Couple, right?
We got a few in here. Let's
I mean, Gavin, a friend of the podcast as well. I saw Gavin earlier this week.
Yeah, I have
the
a
Gaver
here.
On an at. He says, I think Luca can riz baby Gronk away from Livy, where she's still the triple king.
Just going to say right now, the word riz.
Mm.
Is exactly why we have an epidemic of young men that are lonely. Get out of your house.
That sounds exactly
please leave your
like
house.
Someone with that's what somebody would say if they had no riz.
Yes.
I like that Dave. Yeah. I like that
Dave
Dufour
is a riz peasant.
Yeah.
You're not royal.
What the fuck riz
you have
is?
No royalty.
What is riz?
You're a surf in the fields.
Like, it's like
to
charm,
the riz
Dave.
Kings.
It's like charm and
you're gonna learn one day.
And, you know.
Yeah, no.
Not really.
It's not
feudalism
a
feudalism is not really there's not a lot of move up. Move
see,
up
I like
class
the
systems.
I like the Dave.
You're stuck as a surf. In the riz.
The riz surf. The riz surf Dave Dufour.
Yeah.
I like
yeah,
that
yeah,
Dave
yeah.
focused on the riz aspect, and I was just gonna talk about how like we got us all pump the brakes to the baby Gronk thing because that dude's dad is a stage dad and it's getting like real crazy.
I thought that was an Eric Andre skit. Like it looks so ridiculous.
There's still time
it was
for
like,
it to be revealed.
No, that
Nathan
podcast,
Fielder pops out of the corner.
That little podcast snippet that has now been everywhere and unfortunately
yeah, yeah, yeah.
has made me learn about baby Gronk, this poor kid.
Yes.
Who's very clearly like in a bad situation. And but that's social media. You know, if you got kids on social media, it is inherently bad.
Concur.
It is unbelievable to me that this has been like a week.
Uh-huh.
Go rapid
on
fire?
Baby Gronk.
You want to go rapid fire with like four more questions
and riz? Yes,
that's
yes.
a yes. That's a yes.
Sorry.
Okay.
Doing my doing a bit.
Cliff Baruder, who used to be my old was an RA at the dorm I stayed in at West Hall at North Texas.
Wow.
Love Cliff.
Cliff
would Dallas consider drafting Cason Wallace if he's if the top nine are gone?
I like Cason Wallace, and I just don't see how that can work here. With
Kobe
that's
Bufkin
the one
the
thing
only
in the roster
that
they actually have.
Fits, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that they'd consider Kobe Bufkin, but he's the only one that really even
good
makes
player.
Sense for sure.
Like good player.
They need to just say one of first available.
Or are they more likely to swing on Lively or developmental wing? None of the above. I think they would really, really try to trade down if even if they want to pick, they would really try to trade it down. If Anthony Black and Taylor Hendricks are both available at 10, who are the Mavs taking? This is from Mavs Film Room. Also a friend of the pod.
Listen, if they have an actual choice between those two, they should absolutely not trade that pick. Like, that's a really good outcome at 10 if you get a choice between those two guys. Let's
on the flip side, there's a lot of value of the pick if both of those players are available. You
okay,
might actually have yeah,
that's
you might
fair.
Actually
you might have
a
better
trade that makes sense in that right. scenario.
And that's yeah. a fair point. That's a fair point.
Mavs Film Room also asked, how much say does Luka and Duffy have on what happens on draft night? Luca, no, neither have any influence. Luca has influence in the sense of like the franchise knows what he wants, but Luca does like Luca's going to be on a boat or a farm somewhere. Like he might learn 3 days later what they did on draft night.
No,
Luca's
been on Synergy watching Kalubi film. You know, guys, he's going to be in the war room.
Luca has influence in the sense of like this is what Luca wants to see next season, not in terms of like this is who he wants. Mm-hmm. Basketball question. This is from Tall Duck MFFL. Can you rank the order of power of the decision makers in the Mavs front office? I think it's the same as it always is. It's Mark Cuban number one, and then it's a rotating cast of people underneath him. And I think Kidd's pretty high up there, but you know, it's honestly, it's not even Mark Cuban number one. It's whoever Mark Cuban wants to be number one at any given point for any given decision, which sometimes is Mark Cuban and sometimes is somebody else. So, and then Tall Duck MFFL's second question, and we let's just end on this. Lemon or lime?
It's a good one. Put some thought.
It is a really good one.
So I think I would say it's a push in terms of cooking. Which one is more useful? I think they each have uses. Tim's shaking his head at me.
I prefer lime, but I think lemon's more versatile to cook with. I'll use lemon on to add some acid to a pasta dish. I don't think lime would work in a. Not going to mix with like Parmesan, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking like in terms of Mexican food context and like Southwestern foods. There's a lot more.
But we gotta expand it outside of that. If we can only choose one for the rest of our lives, like
okay, well here's what lemon has more. I wasn't saying just cooking. My point was simply going to be that I was going to compare a few things about how it's debatable, and then the great differentiator is I think there's a lot more booze options with lime, and that would be my end all be all there.
I mean, you love margaritas so much that you would never eat another
Marg guy. Huge Marg guy, me. Big Marga.
Never have another lemon again.
Okay, so I'm a lime vote. Mike is a lemon vote.
No, I'm a lime vote, dude.
Lime.
I'm a lime vote. I was just saying.
Oh, sorry. Did I say Dave? You're a lime vote. I'm a lemon vote. Dave, the voice of authority. You're lime?
Lime. Yeah, lime. The booze is a big one.
Would you agree that lemon is more versatile in the kitchen?
I agree. Yeah, sure. But how much do you cook with lemon? I don't cook with lemon a lot. I'm actually not like I like tomato for acid. Usually when I'm cooking rather than citrus. But lime I use quite a bit. Lime water over lemon water all day long, please.
Lime in a beer.
More refreshing. Right, lime in a beer. I mean, it's just
mojitos,
you know.
Caprinas.
I think anytime you use lime, you could replace lemon and it's a downgrade, but it still works. I don't think you can do it the other direction. Yes. That said, you guys are kind of convincing me that I like lime flavored and the uses of lime better than, you know, the instances that
also,
I would use lemon.
The correct answer is
substitute.
Both, and it's Sprite.
Well, sure. I was going to say artificial flavor.
We're not sponsored by Star yet.
Could be real.
Or is that just every
Starburst,
other NBA
Starburst
affiliated?
Lemon is
atrocious.
Amazing.
You like lemon Starburst? That guy?
Lemon Starburst is good. Rank
the lemon. Where does it rank among the original four flavors? I want to hear you.
We've got, what is that? It's orange is the worst. It's the red is cherry.
Red's cherry.
Strawberry.
Yeah. Orange, lemon.
So cherry, strawberry, lemon, orange.
I mean, I'd flip the orange and the lemon and put lemon very much at the bottom.
See, I would flip strawberry and cherry, but then
I don't even know.
There's a clear hierarchy of the strawberry and the cherry are the clear two best. You could argue either order of them.
I haven't had a Starburst in like, I don't know.
I used to be huge.
I don't have kids, so like, I don't eat like candy, and I don't like all my friends with kids. Like, I don't live near any of them, so I don't get Halloween candy and Easter
candy. I don't eat candy or fast food or any of those. But I used to like be so into trying new flavors of these legacy brands of snack foods or fast foods that like I would read this blog called The Impulsive Buy that would just like, you know, chronicle all the new weird limited edition flavors and stuff like that.
Okay.
So shout out Sour Starburst. They're around for like 2 years and they never came back. And it's kind of like when the Library of Alexandria burned. I think humanity has lost something ever since that day.
Do you guys like Mambas or
like just off-brand?
Are they
Starburst,
better though? Than Starburst though?
No.
Next pod,
we'll
talk
agree that now and later
Red Vines. Our summer,
now and later is lowest tier.
Our summer, yeah, they're awful. Our summer content schedule is all candy debates.
Yeah,
that's
done.
Actually that's I mean, that's the idea. I mean, these aren't really debates though, because Twizzlers are so much better.
I would agree with you, actually. But I'm not like either or there. I can go either way.
Yeah. All fair. All right, let's get out of here.
We gotta go.
Mike Pellucci, thank you. Dave Dufour, thank you. Tim Cato, thank you for doing the best job hosting of all time. Listeners, thank you for listening. It's what you do best. We'll We'll see you next time.
Son of Slovenia, cool as hell. He scores the ball and he rebounds well. Don't fight the future. Here comes Luka. Even losses feel like wins when you're with your good friend Tim. It's 77 minutes in heaven.